name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In this video of St. Nicholas of Tolentino, we want to show broadly the human and simple aspect of St. Nicholas, as well as his great spirit of penance and prayer. For him, all of life was prayer. He prayed everywhere. He made his life a continuous prayer, and he led a life of strict austerity for love of God and others. His whole life was an offering of love, and out of love he suffered, and out of love he did penance, and out of love he carried out his apostolate among the poorest and sickest. He even performed miracles to make everyone around him happy, starting with his own brothers from his community. When St. Nicholas was born in 1245, the seat of Peter was occupied by Pope Innocent IV, who had fled to take refuge in Lyon, France, where that year the First Council of Lyon, the 13th Ecumenical, took place. In it, the main problems of the Church were detected: the sins of the clergy and the faithful, the persecutions of the faithful in the Holy Land by the Muslims, the schism of the Greeks, the desperate situation of the Latin Empire of Constantinople, the devastations of the Tartars in Hungary, and the persecution of the Emperor Frederick II against the Church. The culminating moment of the council was when the Pope pronounced the anathema of excommunication against the Emperor, and from that moment, Italy and Germany became battlefields. The Pope and the Emperor were in constant confrontation. Cities and social groups declared themselves in favor of the Emperor, referring to the Ghibellines, or in favor of the Pope, referring to the Guelphs. Regarding the religious life of the Augustinians, we must note several things. The monasteries founded by St. Augustine of Hippo disappeared with the invasions of the Vandals and Muslims especially. But the Augustinian spirit and teachings remained throughout the centuries, in some groups of hermits who followed his rule. In the 12th century, Pope Innocent II, whose papacy was from 1130 to 1143, assigned the rule of St. Augustine of Hippo to all groups of canons regular. St. Nicholas of Tolentino was born in 1245 in Castel Sant'Angelo, which today is called Sant'Angelo in Pontano. In the times of our saint, in his town of Castel Sant'Angelo, there was a church run by canons regular who carried the rule of St. Augustine of Hippo. There was also an Augustinian convent, which had once belonged to the hermits of Bertino. St. Nicholas entered this convent at the age of 14, around 1259, when their members were about 10 and still adapting to poverty and austerity. Until his entry into the order in 1259, they fasted every day except Sundays, for more than half a year, from September 14th to Easter. The rest of the year, they fasted only on Wednesdays and Fridays. They abstained entirely from meat and animal fat. Cheese and eggs could only be eaten 3 days a week. Obviously, many of their members would retain their old customs of austerity and penance, which they would transmit to St. Nicholas of Tolentino, and he accepted them and lived them, despite so many inconveniences that he had to endure throughout his life. Something characteristic of St. Nicholas of Tolentino is the great value he placed on the blessing. Every blessing is a prayer to obtain gifts from God. The blessing of the priest is a prayer that obtains from God many benefits, according to the faith of the one who gives it and the one who receives it. When the priest says, "May God bless you," the priest has a special power of intercession before God. Blessed Augustinian Anne Catherine Emmerich, who lived from 1774 to 1824, said, "The virtue of the blessing of the priest penetrates to purgatory and consoles like dew from heaven the souls whom the priest blesses with firm faith. Since I can remember, I discern with vivid clarity what is blessed by a priest from what is not, what is holy from what is not." A witness assures when St. Nicholas of Tolentino spoke to people, he comforted them and told them to have faith in God. And when the people said to our saint, "Father, give us the blessing with the sign of the cross," the saint replied, "Have faith in God, because faith saves man and God frees him." Normally, to achieve the miracles from God, St. Nicholas of Tolentino made the sign of the cross on the sick. A witness says that his wife had a discharge of blood, and she could not be cured by the doctors. He took her to the cell of St. Nicholas of Tolentino when the saint was ill, and the saint cured her by making the sign of the cross on her, leaving her healthy instantly. Mrs. Giovanna affirms that when St. Nicholas blessed her with the sign of the cross, she felt comforted and light as a bird. A friar from Terni, an elder of the order, an honorable person recognized for his honesty of life and customs, having an inguinal hernia from which his viscera protruded and he could no longer bear the pain, called St. Nicholas of Tolentino and told him, "For the love of the blood shed by Christ, I beg you not to be ashamed to touch this place that hurts me." The saint, feeling sorry for so much pain, touched that point, making the sign of the cross. And when he touched it, the viscera entered its natural place, and everything was composed and in a normal state. A woman, the sister of a brother, a reader of the order, wept so much over the death of her brother that she got sick in her eyes and could not see. After neglecting all medical attention, she developed tumors in her eyes. She was taken to St. Nicholas of Tolentino, and the saint began to cry for the death of her brother. And moved with pity, he touched the woman after making the sign of the cross and said, "Jesus Christ, my God and Lord, have mercy on your sadness and restore health to your eyes." The sick woman consoled herself with those words, and she left the saint's cell. She entered the church, and it seemed to her that her eyes had experienced a new clarity, and she began to say to her companions, "See if there is a trace of my ills, because before I was blind, and now I see." They found no traces of evil. For this reason, she alone returned to her house, praising God and St. Nicholas of Tolentino. For St. Nicholas of Tolentino, blessing was as normal as smiling. It was something that came spontaneously from the heart of being a loving father that wishes the best for his children. How many graces the people received through his blessing! We are sure that he would teach everyone to bless others. As St. Paul the Apostle says, "Bless your persecutors, never curse them, bless them." Romans chapter 12, verse 14. Never repay one wrong with another or one abusive word with another. Instead, repay with a blessing. That is what you are called to do so that you inherit a blessing. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. And St. Nicholas of Tolentino would teach them to give thanks for the benefits received, as St. Paul the Apostle himself teaches. "Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all the spiritual blessings of heaven in Christ." Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. How beautiful the world would be if instead of cursing and hurting, we all gave the blessing to others. Because, as the Catechism of the Catholic Church says, every Christian is called to be a blessing for others and to bless. Hopefully, we get used to blessing the whole world, like St. Nicholas of Tolentino, and saying as a greeting, "May the Lord bless you." The devil appears frequently in the life of St. Nicholas of Tolentino, as in the lives of many other mystical saints. The devil continually tormented him with various noises or appearances, and even beat him, from which on occasion he had to recover, spending a few days in bed. For St. Nicholas, this was part of the daily fight against evil, and he offered everything with love to the Lord for the salvation of others. Father Gualtiero of San Severino tells us, "One night, St. Nicholas woke up to pray. He wanted to go to the church, but being closed, he wanted to enter the dining room where the image of a crucifix was painted on the door. At that moment, he was thrown to the ground. My brothers and I, who were resting in the bedroom, hearing St. Nicholas of Tolentino groan and shout, got up to help him and found him lying down, seriously injured. We didn't see anyone, and therefore, my brothers and I believed that the devil had done this." A friar was commissioned to serve as a nurse for St. Nicholas, along with another young man, both oblates. He was 34 years old when he was a witness in the beatification process. He cared for St. Nicholas in the last 3 years of his life, and remembered certain extraordinary events. He says, "I did not see the devil bodily, but many times and at different times, I have heard the blows and violence that the devil used against the body of St. Nicholas. The blows happened at night, and in the 3 years that I assisted St. Nicholas, it happened many times. I was not present when the door of the dining room was knocked down, because I went to light the fire to take it to the altar. But when I returned to St. Nicholas, who had returned to his cell, he said to me with great kindness, 'My son, help me, because I have a lot of blows to the body. Still, with the help of the Virgin Mary, the devil will not defeat me.' I have seen the bruises on his face, on his back, and on the arm of St. Nicholas of Tolentino. Because of these blows from the devil, the saint had to be in bed for 20 days. A witness named Marco, knowing from his wife that the saint had been beaten by the devil, went to the convent and spoke to the prior, and the prior ordered St. Nicholas to show him the wounds. The three of them entered the dining room and closed the door so that no one else could see. St. Nicholas of Tolentino obeyed and showed the sores of the blows and said to the witness, 'I beg you, Marco, for the love of God and the love you have for me, don't tell anyone.' Another witness says that one day St. Nicholas went to pray in the oratory. There was a lamp there, which was a large globe of 4 pints of oil, as they say in the Tolentino language. The globe was round, made of glass, and was supported by iron chains capable of supporting it. The lamp was lit in front of the cross placed in the access to the sacristy. St. Nicholas prayed before the cross, and suddenly the globe fell on his head, broke into pieces, and St. Nicholas's clothes were filled with oil, especially the hood. I was present at this event, and I went to his cell to get another hood, and when I returned, I found St. Nicholas, who was praying and crying in front of the cross, and holding the entire globe in his hands and lit as before, without any noticeable fracture." The same witness affirms, "In the cell of St. Nicholas, there was a globe smaller than the previous one that remained lit at night. One night, it was a little before dawn, a month before his death, while I was present, a bird appeared in the shape of a hawk. It was large and black, and it began to fly through the cell, flapping its wings over the lit globe and spinning overhead, making soft sounds. Hearing such sounds, St. Nicholas called me and said, 'Come, come, and sit near here and do not fear this bird, because God will help us.' At that moment, the bird lifted the globe and dropped it, breaking it into pieces. Then St. Nicholas told me, 'Call the friar who is in the cell next to us, and the two of you go to turn on a light and bring it back.' I called the friar and we both went to get a light and returned immediately because we couldn't find it. He had risen from the bed and was approaching the globe to take it in hand, and we hear him murmur, 'O Blessed Mary, why has the globe broken?' And we saw the globe that was whole, full of oil and lit. Between the break and the recovery, there was no more than the recitation of a Hail Mary." Many thanks for watching the video. Please also take a moment to enjoy these 99 Catholics videos, which share related content about our faith. And also help to support our channel by becoming a member. Details are in the description box below. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.